I wish to read the first two verses of the ninth psalm. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. A dear man was in the meeting last Sunday night. He may be here tonight. I don't know. But he talked to me on the phone later, and he was somewhat confused, like so many are, that we would make as much noise and praise the Lord like we do here. And of course, I'm well able to understand how this can be confusing to people who have never been in a meeting like this. Now, everyone that knows their Bible to speak of will agree that heaven is a place that is going to be filled with the praises to and for God. And certainly, the Bible uses language that expresses that to praise God over there is going to by far surpass any noise making that's ever been known to this world. But it isn't mere noise, it's a combination and a blending of the millions and millions of voices who at last will be free to praise God, at least to the capacity that they have received Him while in this life. Now the psalmist here gives us a little thought along that line. You notice how he starts this psalm, I will praise thee. And I can't help but realize, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, how much the praise is missing from the congregations of the Lord. Today, it's all right to praise and shout for athletic events, political gatherings, and things of that nature, but somehow religious folk have left the impression that it's to God's good pleasure that we seem pious and frozen up. But you see, of all the warm and loving and really happy, joy-filled people in the world, God's people should be an example. And, of course, this Bible literally pulses and thrills with the praise of those that have embraced God's great message of grace to their lives as it's pours the Bible and the message pours its benefits on the blasted and the faded wreckage of mankind. Now, may I remind us that if you dare to look and listen, that all creation is trying its best to praise God. We read in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans how that the creature is subject to vanity by the reason of him who subjected the same to this. That is, you see, the natural man was put over all of the kingdom of God's creation in this world. And when man fell, he plunged his kingdom into a darkness and away from God. And yet, in spite of all that, you'll realize as you read the Bible how that creatures from one end of the book to the other end of the book do praise God. Do you know what God called on to whip Pharaoh? Lice, frogs, grasshoppers, things of that kind. They were willing to rise up to fight for their Creator. And so as you study the Word of God, you'll find angels and birds and beasts and insects and such like as they praise God. And of course, I've always thought if any man had as much appreciation in his soul as a common old gadfly, he'll get out and praise God somehow in some way. You watch him out on the stream sometime. Now you can get humans occupied with self-denial days, Ash Wednesdays, and fastings, and Lent, and it's like one woman, I've told it before, I read it in the Reader's Digest, and this woman was talking to a certain reporter, and she said, "I just can't hardly wait until Lent is over." She said, "I'm going to get me..." she said, "I gave up chocolates during Lent." And she said, "I'm going to get me a 5-pound box of chocolates, get easy, take my shoes off, put on a kimono, sit down in the front room, get me a good book, prop my feet up, and I'm going to sit there and eat that 5-pound box of chocolates and enjoy myself as soon as this thing is over." Well, now the Bible, she misread it. It don't say deny to self. It says deny self. You see, you can deny something to yourself, and that isn't the point at all. And so you can get people occupied with such things as these, and these things don't necessarily praise or worship or adore the Lord. The 10 lepers, if you'll note, they had faith to be healed, but only one of them had faith to come back and praise the Lord for the healing that God had given him. But then our text describes a man, and here this man has deliberately set himself to praise the Lord. To him, it seemed to be the most important matter with which he could concern himself, to praise the Lord. And, of course, the psalmist shows there was much opposition if you read the psalm through. But then here's something you'll have to realize. If you ever become a worshiper, and maybe that's the reason so many people are critical of you, is simply because worship is never cheap. When Mary broke her box of the spikes of nard on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is figurative of an occasion that will take place someday in heaven, as that perfume filled all the place where they were sitting, there are going to be people that are going to come to heaven one day, and when they get there, their bodies will be, as it were, like the beautiful alabaster box, and they'll be filled, as it were, with the spikes of nard. And as their lives will break before the presence of the Lord, it'll be those lives that will fill heaven with that perfume. And it's not cheap. It was said this was a costly thing. So worship is never cheap, and you can never be lazy and have it, and you can never become self-indulgent or indifferent and have a life of praise. Now in the world, We have many instruments that are tuned to bring harmony and music to its hearers. But in the praise of God, we have the masterpiece of the universe. Even Guy Lombardo admitted that his music was second best to the music of heaven. Did you know that? He said his was the sweetest this side of heaven, but he admitted that there was some sweeter than his. And there is. Now, I'll tell you, there is. You have no imagination unless God has taken you in to this thing. You just can't have any imagination the thrill of really getting into the presence of God and worshiping Him like He wants to be worshiped. And yet today God is getting us ready for that time. Thus, instead of waiting until we are old or sick or worn out, why, before our steps grow feeble and our eye is dimmed, we need to begin to take our place in that great symphony that's going to one day set in the skies. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not trying to work you up to something. I'm telling you right now. Right now we're getting ready. And some of you folk that never play your instrument, I don't know what you're thinking about. I'm going to tell you, if I was in this church and they wouldn't let me play on my instrument, I'd just go wild. But now I want us to notice something about this song. Note what he said. I will praise thee first of all with my whole heart. Oh, that is, he said, I'm not going to pinch a little 99% of 1% off and praise somebody else with it. He said, I don't mean to just open up about 90% of my heart to His praise. He said, I'm going to praise Thee with my whole heart. Now here, David is seeking to awake his entire personality. He's devoting all of his manifold powers to the worship of the Lord. And what a word this word heart is. The heart is so spacious. Do you realize that you have a heart that Paul had a necessary and a wonderful revelation about? And he told the Ephesians that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Not an amazing statement. If it hadn't have been in the book, I'd just said, I can't believe that, but it's in the book. And so I said, Lord, help me to believe it. And He did help me to believe it. You remember when Solomon was dedicating that temple that he was graciously permitted to build to house the presence of God? After they had brought the instruments into their place and it was all finished, Solomon said something like this. He said, now, Lord, he said, I know and we know that the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Listen. I believe it is stated you could put 1,000,000 worlds like this in our sun. And you can find sons out there that you could take 1 billion of our sons and put in that son. And this galaxy is so vast that if you could take a ship that could fly at the speed of light and start from this extreme side of this galaxy and fly straight through to the other side, you would be over 200,000 years flying from here to here. And this galaxy is estimated already to be one of some 10 billion galaxies. And Solomon said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. But when God made your heart, He made something that all of His fullness can get in if you're just willing to open it up. Do you see, I haven't got time to fool around with all this foolishness. I've got in on a good thing. So He said here, He said, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. You see how spacious this is? It also includes all the interior things and the central things. It includes the will, that which generates resolution and purpose. And when we come to praise the Lord, our memory and our imagination must be awakened at their very best. He must be, a worshiper must be able to search his yesterdays. Here, Al was searching his yesterdays. Oh, he said, praise God. And he'd say, and he'd get to laughing. And I'm thinking back on there, and I'm thinking about how the Brother Hill and Tom came and prayed for my dad, and they'd given him from 1 to 10 days to live, and he lived 5.5 years, and he didn't die with cancer. He went to sleep one night and never got up the next morning. Went in and found him, and he had a smile on his face and his Bible across his bosom. Mighty good way to get wrapped up, wasn't it? And so, you see, his memory was searching the yesterdays. And we need to do that. We must be able to search our yesterdays. Oh, I can look back and I can say with the prophet, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Oh, the yesterdays. But thank God, how we gather up the suggestiveness of the tomorrows. Cindy said it's going to be wonderful to spend eternity with you folk. I believe it was Mark said, well, I'd rather go to hell with Jesus as go to heaven without Him. You see, the suggestiveness of tomorrow. I think of how good He's been to me and what He has prepared for them that love Him. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Thou shalt remember, God told Israel, in all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee. And when we began to pierce the outer vesture of things, when we began, did you ever just sit down and get in the Spirit with God and then read about your prospects? I tell you, if you do it right, you'll come out and you won't know whether you're walking on air or just walking. And you see the exceeding riches of His grace, the mercies. David said, "Thy mercies are new every morning. We have a love that nothing can separate us from. Oh, may we cry, come, will. Make my praise forceful. Come, intellect, and make my life enlightened. And then my feelings will become affectionate. I'll fall deeper and deeper in love with God. I will praise Him with my whole heart." Isn't that a marvelous thing? Do you wonder that I could keep still at all? You see. And so I think of how before us lie the secrets of grace. You come to the time where you know that regardless of tomorrow, regardless of how you may be pressed out of measure, when He does press you out of measure, it's so that you might learn that He is able to raise you even from the dead. You see these things, some people are tortured to death about what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No man knows what a day brings forth. But I do know my shepherd leads me. I do know He promised still waters and green pastures. I do know that He's the author and the finisher of my fate. I do know that He will keep me all the way. I do know all things must work together for my good. Oh, dear hearts. Brother Hill, do you think depression's going to come? Do you think the tribulation might be here? Do you think, and you're scared half to death? Get your eyes away from the rotten filth that's temporal anyway. Diane said she couldn't hardly imagine how I could take the breaking of some object so calmly. Well, I'll tell you why. Because I see a day when it's all going to be trash. You see, dear hearts, this is not the abiding place. This is not our stopping place. This is not our permanent home. This is not where I'm going to stay. Well, many a child of God never comes to that wonder of God's amazing grace, for their lives lie idle. They're gripped in unbelief, and they can speak of some wonder here. I marvel how God's children can get together and tell how wonderful the Broncos are, or how wonderful this baseball player is, or how wonderful that basketball player is, or how wonderful this sight is, the other sight. Now listen, I'm a long ways from physically dead. And I enjoy a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you, first is the things of God. And that's what I want to talk about. Now, note what He said. So He said, "I will praise Thee with my whole heart." And then He said, "I will shew forth all Thy marvelous works." Now, only a praise-filled heart can ever show forth God's marvelous works. Did you know that?
I don't care how much you try to tell it. Until your heart is full of praise, you can never really, really tell it. When one has the whole heart busy praising God, he's going to have marvelous things to show to people. Did you know that? You wonder why you don't have very many things to show to somebody else? Because your heart isn't full. Your whole heart isn't full of praises to God. You see, if the will and the intellect and the emotion are all united to worship the Lord, it's easy to discover the wonderful works of God. And I will show forth. Now he said, I will show forth. That is, this word here, it means I'm going to record it. But it didn't mean I'm just going to record it and put it off in the dark corner of a closet somewhere and wrap it up where it can be a volume that'll molder away. I'm going to record it so I can publish it. That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. Yeah. Well, you say, who are you going to tell it to? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you. I know of a family in this town, and my heart goes out because they're God's precious people. But those people used to be in the church here. And about all the parents ever told them about was their famous doctor uncles and aunts and their school teacher uncles and aunts. And while they themselves were poorer than the church mice, some of the boys, when they were going to school, I had to open the old church that used to be here so they could sleep in it. But it was a good place to sleep, and I guess they're still asleep. Maybe that's the trouble, I don't know. But here is the thing. Their parents always put before them the wrong goals. That's all right to get a college education. It's all right to be a doctor. It's all right to be a successful businessman. It's all right to be the outstanding surgeon in the country. It's all right to be an intellect. But it's all wrong if in being these things you forget God. I'll tell you the biggest job some of you parents can take on is make sure you tell your children about this. Rehearse it in their ears. Tell it morning, noon, and night. Be always telling them of the goodness of God, of the grace of God, of the tender works of God. Tell how He kept you. Tell how He undertook for you. Tell how He blessed you. Tell how He lifted you. Tell how He healed you. Tell how He met your needs. Well, then the brethren. You know there are a lot of brethren that don't know very much. Here's Brother Gies. He didn't know very much. He was my brother. He was just as much my brother before he came to this church as he is tonight. But I'll tell you, since he came here, I told him about a lot of things. And then, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, soul, boast in God. You just can't never say anything that won't be fact. What a wonderful preaching this is. That's one of the secrets of the progress and the constant reaching out to the sinner, to the needy, to the lost. You see, it isn't the sermon that D.E. Hill is preaching up here. It's the sermon you're preaching when you get out yonder. I used to say about my son John, that boy would yield to the Lord like he ought to, I don't know what would happen. But you see, he won't do it. Well, think of the people that are here because he told you. He used to tell Lynn,
Well, now you must go down and hear my dad. Go down and hear my dad. Lynn heard me once, and she never wanted to go away. See? Tell your children. Tell the brethren. Tell your neighbor. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Here was old Jeff and Paula. One day out there on the job, Rocky and Paul, I suppose, and I don't know. And they said, "Say, Jeff, look here, do you know? They said, come back and said, "Brother Hill, Dad, pray for a fellow we're talking to out there." Tell your neighbor. Get a hold of them. So Jeff and Paula, they went over across the street and got a hold of their neighbor. I've never been out there, never had time to visit you folk. God love you. I'll get time someday. I'll visit you in heaven if I never see you any sooner than that. I'll tell you over there, we won't have to worry. I'll come over and stay at your house a million years. That'll be all right. We'll get it talked out by that time. If we don't, well, we can take a second million. Isn't that wonderful? Sure it is. Well, glory to God. You see, a man goes out and lays a hold of his neighbor, and he says, "Listen, I tell you," they go out there in that hatch office, and Bob, he just throws business aside, and he says, "Listen here, come on." They walk through, and they start by Cindy, and they get on down the way, and here's another one, and another one, and another one, and another. And by the time they get to Bob's office, they'd just been like a fella that ran a gamut. There you are. And so, once in a while, I'm out of there, and they can hardly stagger out. That's right. We had a couple old boys out there, and I didn't know whether they were going to get up or not. Didn't look like they had hardly the strength to do it. But you see, here you think of this. It says, he'll say, "Well, you're in trouble." Well, now I want you to know, here's Wes, and he got a hold of a dear old boy, and Tom, and this fella, he's an alcoholic. And Wes said, "Well, now, I'll tell you." He said, "You know, I used to be an alcoholic, but look what the Lord has done for me." See how it works? Sure. Well, it says, "I will show forth thy marvelous works." That's what it's talking about. You know who changed Hill? It was him. You know who changed Miller? It was him. Do you know who changed Debbie back there? It was him. Do you know who changed Lynn? It was him. Do you know who brought us all in? It was him. Glory to God! And you think I ought not praise him? Well, if you don't like me to do it around here, I'm about ready to go up there and do it. Well, who shall I tell? Well, the Bible says, tell it among the heathen. Did you know that? Tell your family. Tell your brother. Tell your neighbor. Tell the heathen. Go out and get a hold of that guy. Oh, you say Brother Hill, he's so far gone. So far gone. You know, I marvel how people couldn't make fools of themselves. And this so-called streaking. Isn't it awful, Cindy, that you'd come over here and get out and praise the Lord and make a fool out of your family? But if you was up on one of these campuses and took off and streaked, why, they would think that was cute. See? I'll tell you, when the world gets ready to swallow the devil, God sees that their mouth is big enough to do it. Oh, everywhere. Let's be ministers of the Lord's goodness. Now note what he said next. I will be glad and rejoice or praise thee
And thus, the one who is bringing the whole heart to praise God and who is showing forth His wonderful works, he can't do other than be happy, glad, and a rejoicing soul. Now, this word glad is a wonderful word. It suggests a brightening. That is like the breaking of dawn, the breaking forth of cheer. Rejoice. Rejoice. Glad. The word rejoice, it's that of it means a bubbling spring, a springing fountain, to jump for joy. Isn't that wonderful? And so when you put the two words together, you get a picture of a sparkling fountain dancing in the sun. Now that's exactly what you think of here. When you get them both together, note the word glad, it means dancing. The word rejoice, it means a breaking of light. Sun shining in that gladness, in that jumping thing. And so you see, I tried to think of something that it was like, and I thought of one of these rivers that you're going to see up here in the mountains pretty soon, and the snow's melting. It just gets higher and higher and higher, and it's rushing down. It's just springing. It's alive. It has, God said, then had thy peace been like a river. You know why? Now, if we'd have been right in the Bible, you know what we'd have said? We'd have said, then had thy peace been like a secluded lake without a breeze on it. That's a dead body of water. God's people aren't dead. They're alive. Then had thy peace been like a river. Did you ever see anybody stop a river? Oh, they may dam it up, but it'll climb your dam. It'll go everywhere it wants to go. It's full of rocks. Did you ever see a river drained of its water? Oh, the obstructions that are out there. But that river don't care a bit. It's on its way. You know where it's going to? There's some dry, parched, dusty, desperate valleys down there that it's going to. And that's what this is here. Oh, it just gets better and better. And then the last thing, I will sing praises to thy name. Now note what he said. I will praise thee with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice. Now I will sing praises to thee. I don't wonder, as we contemplate his mercies, and as we give thanks, and as we bear witness to what he has done for us, and as his praise comes like a flowing, leaping, sun-filled gladness, surely we must expect singing to break forth. Christian experience is the most wonderful thing that there is. And there's no way to tell it. I'd like to tell it. I'd like to tell you something. It's refreshing. It's healing. It's satisfying. It's a joy that's unspeakable. It's full of glory. It's a peace that passes understanding. It has prospects in it that no gloom can wipe out. Listen, I look down a few more short years, and I'm going to be with Jesus. Think about that. I'm going to be over there where Paul came back after seeing it. And he said, well, he said, you brought me to boast. I'd like to boast. I'd like to tell. But he said, it's unlawful for a man to utter what I saw when I got over there. Not permissible. Just not possible. Not possible. And you know I'm going for that? Oh, you say, Brother Hill, what if you don't hold out faithful? I stopped trying that a long time ago. Didn't you know that? I haven't tried to hold out faithful for over 40 years. And you know what? He's held out faithful. That's right. That's right. Even though we fall, yet shall we not utterly be cast down, for underneath are the everlasting, everlasting arms. Somebody says you ought not preach that, Brother Hill. Somebody might take advantage of it. I'd like you to show me somebody when we get over in heaven that ever took advantage of God. Will you? It's not my business to edit this book. It's my business to preach this book. Now, do you know why? The question I'd ask if I came in here a stranger and I knew what you people were hearing all the time and knew what you're supposed to believe, I'd go out and I'd say, how do those people manage to sit on their hands and keep their mouths shut like that? Huh? Trouble of it is, Robert, you should have unbuckled that seatbelt. That's right. You know, we're sometimes kind of afraid. You see. Precious hearts. Now God is sufficient for your need. If you have never gotten in on what I'm talking about, now, mainly, you're not going to understand the thing till you get on the inside. I don't care what I tell you. You're going to have to personally taste and see. We'll invite you to do that right now. Robert, what